Hello, Cyclocross friends, and welcome to another episode of Crosshairs Radio. On today's show, episode 63, it's another They Don't Do That in Europe with Scott Diedenbach and Mr. David Fallon. We're talking about Hoogerheide, which just happened this past Sunday, and also the upcoming World Championships. We give our picks, we give our predictions, we get a little off track, almost go off the rails, but in the end, I think we got it all back together. This episode is brought to you again by RaceWorks Timing and Scoring. You can reach them at raceworkstiming.com. So the next time that you put on a race, if you are a promoter or you know a promoter, you have one in your family, let them know about RaceWorks Timing. They are experts in active chip timing, disposable chip timing, high-speed video scoring. They work in all of the races, cyclocross races that we do in the Mid-Atlantic. A joy to work with, professional. You get your results right away. The other thing that we talked about them a couple episodes ago, but I just wanted to add to some of the services that they have. They're doing in 2017 active tracking of participants in events. So you got a big running event or a cycling event. You want to know where your guy is, where your family member is. You'll be able to track live where each rider is. That's pretty amazing. Also, live streaming. Live streaming is something that they're going to start to offer as well. So Facebook Live or anywhere else, being able to see these events if you're not going to be able to get there. It's another service that a lot of promoters are looking to add to give an extra value to their events. So this is pretty much your one-stop shop for all of your scoring, timing needs, and now live streaming, and also, you know, keeping track of everyone who is out there participating. So go check them out, raceworkstiming.com. Also on Twitter, at raceworkstiming. Let them know you heard about us on Crosshairs Radio. And if you're thinking about starting a cyclocross race, especially if you're in the Midwest and Chicago area, Mid-Atlantic, and, you know, talk to them about anywhere else you might be too, give them a call. Shout out to them, raceworkstiming.com. Speaking of Chicago, if you are in Chicago for World's Weekend, especially that Sunday, next Sunday, January 29th, 1 p.m., go to the RAFA Cycle Club, and we're going to be watching, doing a replay of the races, doing a little bit of analysis, some Q&A. It's going to be a great event. Go to pages.rafa.cc, and under the clubs, look for RAFA Chicago, RSVP, so we know you're going to make it. But I'm really looking forward to being out there, so come join me in Chicago at the RAFA Cycle Club next Sunday. Okay, let's get on with the show. As always, TDDTIE. I'm going to hand it over to Scott Diedenbach, and we're going to do that right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back for another edition of They Don't Do That in Europe on Crosshairs Radio. With me, as always, on the right, as usual, Mr. David Palin.
And good to be on the right again.
Also with us on the left, Bill Shiken. What's up, man?
If I were David Palin, I'd say I'm on the alt-right.
I am on the right.
I'm on the alternative right.
That's right. That's like an alternative truth.
Like an alternative truth. But we're not talking about that.
So, guys, we're another week.
We are. Go ahead, Scott. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
We are another week closer to World Championships. Are you guys getting excited?
I am getting excited.
I'm excited. Yeah. Yes. So, all right, what are we going to talk about this week? We are going to cover the Hoogerheide race that we just all witnessed this morning. And then we're going to give our picks for Worlds. That's always an exciting episode. So I'm sure this will probably break the record for downloads, right, Bill?
Yeah, it should.
Because people are just waiting for our picks.
it's what drives the numbers.
But first, Bill, I'm throwing you a curveball.
Oh, no.
Let's do a question to start off.
Okay. Let's do that.
Yeah.
All right.
That was our lesson plan.
Start there. We'll kind of like set the tone, and then we'll get through more questions. So.
Well, okay. Well, we have a Worlds question. Let's not do that one. We're going to save that one. All right. Well, here you go. This will be good. This will be good. We're going right into what we're going to talk about. Hi, Bill. And I'm going to add just Scott and David here. I'm fairly new to following cyclocross races, so forgive me if this is a sore or repeated topic. Looking at UCI rules, I see it says women elite racers are supposed to be 40 to 50 minutes, and elite men's are as close as possible to 60 minutes. But then that doesn't explain why they went and came up with a women's race where they could have gotten in another lap and still been under 50 minutes. I think he's talking actually about Hoogerheide today, as well as the men were closer to 60 minutes flat at one to go than at the finish. So is there a preference to make men's races err on the long side and women's on the short side? I am going to give the officials the benefit of the doubt on this one. Say that they try the best they can to make it within the rules. And it's not always easy because if people don't know, it's a guessing game as far as the officials go.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they have to, they time the first lap. They're supposed to time, you know, even more than that, but women's races sometimes are only four or five race laps long.
Yeah, so, the most, at most, it's usually just two laps.
Right.
And I mean, typically, I'm sure there's instances where it's more than that. But yeah, if they get two laps to average the time, that's pretty, that's
and
about
then, what. And then they extrapolate they out from there to where it's going to be within 40 to 50 minutes. There are things like Jingle Cross where I'm not sure how you get it that wrong, where
yeah,
it's not even close to 40 minutes, but you know, it is a guessing game. So if it ends up that the first lap is really slow, you're going to have a short race, right?
Yeah, like last Correct. Week in Italy, I mean, is a perfect example. That first lap was really slow, and then the laps for the women sped up pretty much through the rest of the race. They still got it. It was slight. I think it was like 40 minutes. Just over 40 minutes. So they didn't make that, but there's a good example. You know, that first lap was very slow. And so,
yeah.
You know,
and,
they
were, and they called, at least we do have a clearer rule now, and it's 5.1.048 where, you know, and this was just added in July of this year. They added the language for the women's events that the duration must be between 40 and 50 minutes.
Right.
So anywhere from 41 to 49, I guess. But anyway, it used to be this weird, you know, no less or whatever. It just didn't make sense. So at least there's some clarity. Now we just have to get the officials to do their best to make it within that time period.
Yeah, but then once they set that lap count, they can't really change it.
There's nothing
they
can do. Yeah. No.
Right. So
unless it's your local race where, you know, every once in a while I say, we just saw four to go twice.
I've seen that.
I can't say anything because when I was officiating, I screwed up a lap count once and I felt so bad.
I was at that race.
It was a total honest mistake.
To Scotty D's defense.
Yes.
In Scotty D's defense.
Yes.
He and I both actually were there. We were supposed to be shadowing the officials. We weren't even officially officials yet.
It was like
volunteering.
It was our first race. Yeah.
And the lead official, who was supposed to be keeping track of the lap count, decided that he had to go get lunch for the entire race and wandered off.
Like an hour.
Us. Five minutes. And I know you think it's so hard to count backwards, 5, 4, 3. But the truth is, it's trickier than you would expect.
Exactly. Because
you have lapped riders coming in. You got to know who is at the front of the field and who is.
When you're doing lap count, you cannot do anything else. You have to completely concentrate on that. Yeah, it's much harder than people would think. So.
No matter how cute the women announcing the races may be, no matter how pressing that need for lunch is, don't leave somebody alone there that's doing their first race. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay. So.
All right. Well,
all I will add to that is, you know, no, there's no preference to make the men's races closer to 60 minutes. And, you know, let's just, you know, have a little sympathy for the men when the leader does pass the finish line at over a minute, for the guys who are like, you know, 30th and 40th who haven't gotten pulled and have to do that extra lap. Because they're the ones racing, you know, an hour 12.
Right. Yeah, they're suffering for sure. So, all right, we will move on to Hoogerheide. That was a great one to start us off with there, Bill. Move on to Hoogerheide. We're going to talk about the junior/U19. We didn't get to see this race, but top five results. In first place was Thomas Pidcock from Great Britain. Second place, Ben Turner, also from Great Britain. What is that about? We got to mention that. Third place, Timo Kielch. From Belgium. Fourth place, Florian Vermeersch from Belgium. And in fifth place, Jentel Beckert, also from Belgium. So, when was the last time we
saw Jentel?
Yeah, isn't that how you pronounce it? Y-E-N-T-L.
That's Yentl.
Yeah. But, you know, two British writers.
Big parents are big Barbra Streisand fans.
I bet they are.
Two British writers taking that. That's kind of interesting, I thought. Yes?
Yeah, great. Big Cock's having an awesome year.
Yeah. Fine. So he's definitely a pick for a possible pick for Worlds. We'll see.
They have two potential favorites, which is something.
Yeah, Pidcock and Turner for sure.
Well, not even that. Just in Evie as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
U23 women.
Absolutely. I mean, we'll definitely talk about U23 women later because that was great. What was going on with that today? But for the U.S. in 23rd place was Elaine Maher. David.
Elaine Maher.
In 35th place was Calder Wood. 37th was Ross Elwood. 39th was Caleb Schwartz, and in 56th was Sam Noel. Okay, anything else you guys want to mention about the juniors, or you want to move on?
Do we want to talk about the course just overall?
Sure,
because
absolutely.
Hoogerheide, usually you think of, I mean, it's one that in the past could be termed like an epic race, right? You know, just crazy hard, muddy.
Stairway now, yeah.
Yeah, now they got the Stairway to Heaven in there as well. It was bone dry, little slick out there, but really just a super fast track. I mean, there's the couple 180s in there. There was a couple pretty off camber fast turns that definitely had a fair share of crashes, but I think that's also was attributable to the speed. I mean, these races were just full on, no mud, no like getting off the bike hardly at all. It was just like ride at top speed.
Yeah, I'd be very curious to see what some of the speeds were that people were hitting, you know, what their top speeds were during the race, because I agree, it was pretty, it was definitely, there were definitely in the men's race, I think, road tactics for sure.
Yeah,
right?
Which is crazy because it takes, you know, and this is why cyclocross, you know, one of the reasons we love it is that you can have practically the same track from last year to this year, and it's a completely different race. I mean, I think last, you know, they can still be exciting, but as far as the racing, you know, watching at the racing, last year looked a lot more exciting. There was a lot more going on, people slipping and sliding, there was all these different lines through the mud. This year it was just like, you know, step on the go pedal and go.
Yeah. And I'm not complaining about it. I don't know if you don't like that, Bill, or what, but I think, you know, like you said, it's different and I'm fine with it. It's still cool to watch every now and then, to have things be a little bit different every now and then. So I'm not a huge, you know, going to hugely complain about it or anything, but it is different. It was an unusual thing to see. And like you said, completely different.
No, I'm not complaining. I just find it, you know, fascinating that you can have a completely different, it's almost like a different venue.
I just didn't want people to think we were complaining. I'm a little sensitive.
We don't complain on this show.
No, we're positive. Never. Positive people.
We do not. So, okay, let's move on to U23 men. Top five for U23 men. In first was Joris Nieuwhuis from the Netherlands. In second place, Clement Russo. Third place, Dej Aerts. Fourth place, Mike van der Heijden. Fifth place, Nicholas Klepa. Okay. For the Americans, the U23 in 10th place was Curtis White. 23rd place was Spencer Petroff. And 33rd place was Lance Hadit. Again, we didn't get to see this, but anything jumping out at you guys for this coming into Worlds, last World Cup?
Again, we'll go over our Worlds pick later on. I don't know. And again, I think that this is setting up. Hoogerheide is one of these races, and I think it will be more, we'll discuss it more as we go into these elite fields. It's hard really to determine anything watching this race.
Yeah, because it is so different. I agree.
And it's also so close to Worlds that, you know, for the people that the World Cup was a goal, it's going to be one kind of race. For the people who just were showing up and looking at Worlds, it's another race. So it's hard to really
look. Yeah, I think we'll have that discussion about Vanderpool when we get to the elite men, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. for sure. Yeah, so it's like who's really just sitting in, you know, like Quentin Hermans was 16th. Well, I'm guessing he's going to be higher than that at Worlds.
Right. That's exactly right. That's a perfect example of somebody whose ultimate goal here is to win the World Championship, who has already exactly. Didn't he win the World Cup?
You know, I don't know. That's one of the ones I don't know for sure. Huh. Could be. You should know that, Bill.
Come on,
I can look at it right now.
We rely on you for this stuff.
All right. Well, anyways, let's move on to we're going to do. What did I do here? Okay, yes. We're
going to
do.
Assuming that Matthew Vanderpool is not going to participate in the U23 Worlds or in the World Cup because he has three asterisks next to his name, the first place will be Quentin Hermans.
Yes.
Okay. And then Nieuwenhuis was second, and Gioia Bartolini third.
Okay, let's do. I forgot to pull out the U23 women. I meant to, and then I just didn't do it. But I'll kind of do it as we speak. But we'll look at the because it's not a separate race for the women. But I just want to discuss the U23 women since we just talked about the U23 men.
I can give you the top three there, Scotty.
I got them here. The top U23 women. Anne-Marie Vorst, Laura Verdonschot, Evie Richards were 1, 2, 3. Let me go down to Helen, is it Clausel, I think? Helen Clausel from France. And anybody? and then I got Evita Muzik from France. So that's the top five U23 women. But going into this, into Worlds, I think, what Anne-Marie Vorst did was awesome today. I think her and Laura Verdonschot just are, it's amazing that they're riding up with the, you know, the best women in the world, basically, and they're right there.
Well, yeah,
23.
Third, fifth, and sixth.
And Evie Richards, absolutely.
Yeah, in the elite race, two of them, you know, I think would call themselves mountain bikers in Vorst and Richards, who really don't show up to that many World Cups. But when they do, they're in the top 10, if not the top five elite race.
And that was interesting seeing them up in that today.
And looking at this race today, sorry, Scotty D.
No,
looking at this race today, it's not one that you would typically say, oh, this is a mountain bikers race.
No.
True.
No.
Absolutely. Yeah, for
sure.
You
know, as the mountain bikers, their strength, picking and choosing races around their strengths, this wouldn't be an A race for them. And yet they did quite well today. So I think there's some telling in that for what's coming up next week.
Yeah, all three of those, their power is very impressive, I think, you know, all season long. That when they've got lots of power when they need it. So we'll see what happens. So. Okay, let's move on to the elite women overall.
Well, we should mention, did we do our American women in that U23?
Oh, the American women.
No, yeah.
I'm sorry. And
especially Ellen Noble, who, you know, probably not the best result that she wanted today, but she did secure that U23 overall victory for the World Cup, which is pretty awesome. So congratulations to her for that.
She is the only U23 American woman in the field, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, no Emma Waite. So yeah, so
39.
So yeah, good. She clinched that overall, and that was cool to see that. So, all right. So the elite women, first place goes to Mariana Voss. Second place, Lucinda Brand. Third place, Anne-Marie Vorst. Fourth place, Sané Kant. Fifth place, Laura Verdonschot. Voss. Well, you know, it was funny because she kind of like gapped everybody at the beginning. And then everything came back together, and I thought, huh, maybe this isn't, like, she isn't going to just walk away with it today. But then she just kind of gapped everybody again.
I think she got lonely last time.
she pitted, right? And that's when Nash caught her and went out on the front. And, like, after that happened, she had this initial effort and went out there, and it seemed like it was pretty easy for her to get space, and she was able to gap Kant, and then... You know, she pitted once and everything came back together. And you could see her, if you watched the race, and maybe I'm just putting this on her, she's sort of upright and riding in this pack. And, you know, they're sort of jockeying for position and everything. And then I think it was like two to go. All of a sudden, she drops about 6 inches.
Yeah.
And it was like, engage. And then it was just, see you guys later.
And then there was that Eva Leckner went down, and that kind of blocked, that kind of broke that group up for a second. And that kind of was part of, I think, what she, that gave her a little bit of a gap on the front. She's like, all right, well, I'm just going to go, you know,
and then
she went. And Sonny Kant had a break there too, off the front for a little while, but you kind of always thought Boss is just going to catch her.
And the same thing happened.
She's going and she's not going to be caught. It was like, okay,
the same thing happened with Kant, where she was able to get away because Voss was sitting, I think, third or fourth, and there was a crash in front of her. That was the interesting thing about this race, is that it was really nerve-wracking if you had anybody in front of you. Because that's how these gaps were being created, more than a lot of races that we've seen, since it was both slippery and fast. So if anybody went down and they took out, and it was a pretty narrow course, so they take out 3, 4, 5 people behind them, then if you were in front of that crash, you just had an instant gap. You know, it really seemed exaggerated because of the speeds.
Yeah, I agree. It did. Anytime there was any little bobble or anything, it created this big gap right away. I guess another big thing that happened in this race is the Lita De Jong goes down early.
Oh, yeah.
Is done, just takes, kind of limps off the course. She's tweeted pictures of herself
in a wheelchair.
In a big race.
Yeah.
I guess she's going to get another MRI tomorrow. And man, that would be too bad. You know, with Tone last week, and if she's out, you know, now this week, that's really a bummer.
Yeah, that's a big favorite and defending world champion. You know,
and I think she would have done really well on this course. You know, I think she would have, if she would have been in for the whole race, obviously if she doesn't crash, her skills would have been ideal for this course. I would have thought, if we could have seen her for the whole race. So, also Katie Compton running into some issues, has a puncture, goes down, banged up her knee a little bit. I think Mark tweeted out that it was a little swollen, but probably should be fine in a couple of days. So that's good news, but she also had a puncture, and then it looks like a weird thing. She came into the pits and like kind of paused there for a second. It wasn't like this real fast pit exchange that we normally see. She kind of paused for a second. So I'm kind of curious about what was going on there, but so she had an okay race, top U.S. Did I give the U.S. women elite yet? I don't think I have.
No. The other thing that with Compton, you know, along with the puncture and the crash, and then she also, like, coming up the stairs, like, banged her chin into her handlebars once, I think Mark was saying, too. So, yeah, just a...
Did she hit her chin? Okay.
Yeah, and that may have been when she came in. I don't know, but definitely things weren't going right. But hey, maybe she got all those bobbles, all those crashes out of the way this week, and was looking forward
to
next.
Ironed out the plugs and ready to go. So for the U.S. elite women, 15th place was Katie Antineau, 17th was Katie Compton, 19th was Amanda Miller, 24th was Rebecca Ferringer, 37th was Courtney McFadden, and 39th was Ellen Noble. I think I haven't talked to Courtney at all, but she kind of just put out on Twitter that, yeah, it just wasn't my day. Just wasn't a good day, which I think, you know, how many times have we said that already? I think that was the case for a lot of people this week. You know, this is kind of like the race before the big race, and everyone's, you know, maybe not totally keying in on this race. They're already thinking about next week a little bit. So I think a lot of people didn't have their greatest race this weekend.
And just talking about the speed of this race, you know, you go 1 to 28 and there's a 2-minute gap. And that's pretty rare. Usually those gaps get up a lot bigger by the time you get down to the 30th place. So this was, you know, other than Voss going off the front, it was pretty tight all the way back.
Yep. Yeah. But still, overall, I think it was okay race to watch. I wouldn't say it was my favorite race, my favorite World Cup this year. But, you know, as always, you have fun watching it. It was a little bit different thing to watch so that you could kind of look at other things that were going on. So
did you hear the interview at the end of the race? Since we're the UCI World Cup, they always try to ask a question or two in English first. Yeah. So
yeah, for Voss. Yeah.
The question for Voss was, this is going to be your 8th world championship. Isn't that amazing? And she was just like, idiot, what are you talking about?
I got a lot to do before that happens. You know, you could see it on her face. Like, no, that's, I'm not there yet. You know, a lot can happen. So
should we go to question number one from the lesson plan?
Sure. Yeah. Let's do that.
Going right
then
from
we'll finish
from there.
Off with the men. Yeah.
So question number one is, hey, being the degenerate gambler that I am, I was wondering if there were betting odds for CX Worlds. I did a quick search, but didn't, well, should we do this now? Because I don't have the women's odds. Couldn't turn any up results. The line between Wout Van Aert and Matthew Vanderpool has to be razor thin. So here's the thing with betting odds, and it's actually, this will tie into another question that we have about how to watch the races, which we've covered before. Another good reason if you want to do this and you're a degenerate is why you need a VPN, because if you come up with a US IP address, a lot of these betting places won't allow you onto their site. But since I was browsing...
How would you know that, Bill?
Well, because I was browsing from the Netherlands, and I was able to get on, and... Yeah, so, yeah, if we talk about betting odds for right now, and, you know, this is, I don't know, this I looked at this after the race. I'm assuming that they updated this because it's money, and they're usually not going to, you know.
They don't fool around.
They don't fool around with this stuff. So Vanderpool is still the favorite, and it's 1.5, so are the odds. You go down to Wout and it's 2.5. Powell's, you know, they know where Powell's is going to finish, so they got him at third at 10 to 1.
10.
Yeah. And then Vanderhaar at that. See, this is why I think that it's probably changed, because Vanderhaar has already jumped up to fourth in the odds at 12 to 1, which I don't know if you would have him that high up before this week.
Well, for this weekend, yeah. Probably not.
Yeah,
probably
and then on down from there. The interesting thing is that we have Powers and Page who are on here. Page, who's not even racing, so I would not put any money down on him.
Page is 300 to 1,
but no Hyde.
That's probably a bad bet.
You got Tobin. No Hyde, we got right. Tobin Ortenblad in there, but no Hyde. Steven Hyde just getting iced by the odds makers.
Oh, 1,000 to 1 for McTubbin. That's crazy. I'm putting hey, $1 down on that.
That's worth $2.
He's the man. $2. What are the odds on Lane?
$2. Lane Mayer, put down $2 on Lane.
So the answer to the question is yes, there are odds, of course. And Matt, basically Vanderpool and Van Aert are at the top, far away from everybody else. 1.5 to 1 and 2.5 to 1. So, yeah, cool. Is that complete?
Okay, then.
All right.
So far this week started off a lot less contentious, I noticed. and therefore perhaps a lot less interesting.
We're so laid back.
Evidently, Scott doesn't have as many problems with the European races.
No.
Why am I
a xenophile?
Scott, David and I are usually the villains here. You're the nice guy. You got to, you know, you got to take it on the chin once.
All right. As long as this is it.
No. Oh, you know, we can go back to that, to sort of the second half of that question. We got another question here from Neil talking about what are your favorite Eurocross watching solutions. You know, my one thing, don't use, like, I wouldn't use Hola or Tunnel Bear or any free VPN outlet, just personally, because you don't know what the security is for those. If you want to watch on Sporza or the UCI site, it's, you know, subscribe to a VPN. If you love cyclocross, it's worth it. It's really not that much. You can get them for like $5. I think ExpressVPN is what I subscribe to. The other thing about
that we're encouraging that illegal act, though.
Yeah, but it's, you know, is it illegal? It's just sort of working around. I mean, I have bought a service, and this allows me to search from other places in the world. So there you go.
I think technically, but... yeah, and I do the same thing. I use Hide My Ass. VPN
and
service.
The other nice thing about a VPN, if you travel, it's always good to use in you know, where there are free Wi-Fi or Wi-Fi if you're traveling in Europe. To not have all of your personal information stolen. If you go through a VPN, it keeps your your connection secure.
When I was with a large charitable organization, I was required to use a VPN.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I use that, and I get much better results with that than I ever did with any of the other free ones. And that's the thing. It's not very expensive. You can even, you know, there's monthly plans. You can, I think I pay 10 a month, Bill, and but it's just a monthly thing. I can just pay during cross season
right.
and then stop.
Yeah.
And then just restart it again.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, you know, at 10 bucks a month, you have to have it for what, 4 or 5 months. So it's 40, 50 bucks for the whole season. And you've got great connections and never have an issue. So well worth it, in my opinion. Yeah, good, great questions, though, man.
Yeah,
awesome.
So Neil had another question, too, just asking about the...
We can't make this the whole Neil show, though.
This is it. This is
only
the last
so
one.
Many questions, Neil.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Come on, Neil. You're cut off for next week.
When are the exact dates and schedules usually announced for Nationals? I'm thinking ahead to Reno. So for Reno, usually the schedule, that's going to come not until late in the season, much to the chagrin of... parents of juniors and everything else. But yeah, that'll get out there as far as yes.
But we usually know the week that it is.
Yeah,
right?
But we'll
know the week, but you don't know like what races are going to be,
right.
What days very specifically or anything like that.
And then as far as announcing the next Nationals, they, in the past, we've already known, you know, where, so after Reno,
do we know, Bill?
But
some
we don't
of us
know.
Know.
Well, I mean, we may
some
know.
Of us
I
might have an idea.
Officially.
But officially, what's Reno's going to be 2018, 2019 has not been officially announced yet. But I think they just want to make sure that everything is all the I's are crossed and the T's are dotted and the ink is dry on the contract before they make that announcement.
Right. So that's don't send us an email because we don't know.
We don't, no idea. None.
Right.
Not a
clue. Zero. Zip.
Okay. All right. That's good. Yeah. Good question there too. So, all right, let's get these men's results out of the way. Then we're done with Hooger Height. Sound good?
Yeah.
We do have to finish. a telenet sweep at the men's podium for the top three, at least. So let's run through the wide angle podium here. In first place was Lars Vandahar. In second place, Tom Musin. In third place, Corne Van Kessel. In fourth place, Clement Venturini. Fifth place, Kevin Powels. That was kind of cool to see that telenet podium.
Yeah,
I thought it was kind of cool at the
end.
Those guys were
two
racing
Dutch,
for it.
Yeah, two Dutch guys for the race in the Netherlands. So they got
and
that.
And the Dutch overall, the Dutch did really well, sweeping the women's podium, and then two out of three in the men's podium.
They had every category except for Pidcock in the junior men.
In the juniors, yeah.
Yeah, so you had
almost
U20,
like it was a home field advantage.
Yeah, U23 women, U23 men, elite women.
Yeah. So what do we think about Lars Vandahar? What do we think about that ride by him? I think one of the interesting things that kind of came out that we were talking a little bit during the race on Twitter was this was, you know, for people like Matthew Vanderpool, I think you were saying, Bill, this wasn't really that important of a race, right?
Right.
Well, a great result was not that big a deal for him. He can't win the World Cup overall. You know, it's you don't want to crash like we've seen, like we saw so many people crashing. You come in there, you get a good training ride in. Sure, if everything falls your way and you have a chance to win, you're going to take it and jump on it. But if it doesn't, you're not going to push it. You're just going to, you know, sit in, get it in a good hard ride and be satisfied with that.
And we already know that the World Cup isn't important to him. He didn't race last week. Wow, Van Aert already has it tied. It means, it gets him nothing, you know, so... Mm-hmm. He said he didn't have it today, wasn't feeling well, just wasn't, you know, it just wasn't there. You know, he's pretty upfront about
right.
it. And it definitely looked like with about 2-3 laps to go, he completely, you know, shut it down and just sort of rode around.
But for Lars Vandahar, somebody whose, you know, whole season was in question, the injury, all this stuff going on, that's a good result.
Oh,
for
by
him
the
now.
Way, just an addendum to that, completely sure. shut it down. Just riding away, still finished 24th.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Let's
Last
not forget.
Pedaling it.
Yeah.
So Lars Vandahar, you know, he comes in, he shows, hey, I could still be a player, and here I am, and don't forget about me kind of thing. And really is going to make the discussions coming into Worlds next weekend very interesting because all of a sudden his name is back in the hat, I think.
Yeah. And even more than that, this is, you know, you can look back at these races, the importance of these races. Last week was a hugely important race for Wout, even if his knee was hurting, for him to show up and race and win because he's on a new bike. He has a new team sponsor. It's a World Cup. It's sort of that world stage. You want to make sure that you get that win out there. It takes the pressure off you, takes the pressure off the sponsors, make sure everything's okay. Same thing with Lars Vanderhaar. Huge transfer, him coming to Telenet. He's pegged as the guy. Sven said, I needed a leader on this team. This is who I'm bringing in. As soon as that happens, he gets injured. No results for the year. You know, he won the race yesterday. Looks like the form's coming back around. So this is a huge weight off of his shoulder now. He got a World Cup win. He got to show off Telenet Fidea on his chest, doing it in the Netherlands. So this was, you know, not only for him coming back, but also for just, you know, justifying his position as the leader of this team is really, really, really big for him. And I think that takes a lot of pressure off him now to be able to just race his race at Worlds.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Well said. David, any, what do you think? I know Lars is one of your favorites. So
Lars is a favorite of mine. Of course, I'm happy to see it. It was a good race for him. I mean, it was not the mud fest. It really played into his strengths, although, and I think we've talked about this before with some of the others, you wouldn't think Hoogerheide is an A race for him going into it when you're looking at the schedule when it's first published. But then with everything that came about and all the injuries and everything that happened, and then the weather today, everything came together. He had a win yesterday, and then he's just riding it. So actually, we'll talk about this more, I'm sure, when we get to everyone's top picks for next week.
Absolutely. So American men, top finishers in 27th place was Steven Hyde. 32nd was Kerry Werner. 44th was Tobin Ortenblad. 47th was Jeremy Powers. 48th was Travis Liverman. 49th was Jeremy Duren. And 54th was Jack Kisseberth. All those American men over there, basically, that's the world's team, right, for the U.S.
It
that's
is, and I think I have to think that Hyde is disappointed in this. He had a just shot out of the cannon start, was looking awesome, but it wasn't, what, 20 seconds into the race. You know, early in there, somebody got well, we'll say sloppy in front of him and caused him to go over his handlebars. So right from the start, he was put back on his heels and had to play catch up. So you look at that and you look at how we were talking about how tight this course was and how there were crashes all over the place that were holding people up. You have to assume he was held up a lot. After that, still was able to work his way back up to 27th. And, you know, without that early crash, I think he's looking at a good result. So Hyde's still trying to break through, but I think still just coming up and just frustrated in, I can imagine, in that he has the form to do better. Yeah. And he's just, you know, running into some bad luck. So hopefully by next week, that's going to clear out. Like him and Compton got all that. Our national champions got all their bad mojo out of the way this week.
And yeah. I know that Compton certainly has the ability, and I imagine that Hyde does as well, but to forget about this race as of this afternoon and move on to next week.
Yeah, yeah, completely.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, do we want to throw in another question right now before we transition over to our picks?
Sure.
Do we have a call? Do we have a call?
Yeah,
do a call?
Let's listen to a call.
It's always so exciting.
I know.
But it's cool. I'm glad we get to play people's voices, though.
I know. I just got to, we were having this, my technical issues here. So I'm going to see if this actually works. All right, here we go. Here's one.
Hi, gang. Great show as always. This is David in Southern California. I'm on the trainer right now because, as you guys maybe heard, our drought's over. We're getting killed with rain. What classic cross races on YouTube would you recommend when I have an hour to kill and I'm tired of staring at Zwift? I'll take my answer off the air. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Yeah.
I love it.
All right. So I don't know if you guys saw this ahead of time and may not have some answer. I have one to start with. Classic.
Okay.
You want classic, crazy race that'll just keep you entertained on the trainer? Go watch the 2006-2007 Cyclocross World race that Jonathan Page got the silver medal. That thing is nuts. There's just so much going on there with like motorcycles causing crashes and just insanity throughout. That is definitely one worth watching.
Yeah. I like the real, like if you go way back, like the vintage, like 90s era ones with, you know, they're still riding mostly steel bikes and stuff.
And there's like no crowd control.
Right.
Right. Like it looks like the Tour de France when they're climbing mountains and people like have to like get out of the way for them to come through each lap.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the Spinergy wheels and stuff. And you see a lot of straight bars, bar end shifters. So I think that stuff is pretty cool. You know, you go to those late 90 ones and is it 90? When was Sven's last U23 race? 98 maybe.
Oh boy. Yeah.
When he won as a U23, I've always liked to watch that race. I think that's pretty cool. Especially when, and it's interesting too, because you're hearing, you know, them talking about, well, he's got a bright future. And when you already know what's going to happen for the rest of his career, it's like, yeah, it's kind of cool. So I enjoyed that one quite a bit. So do you have any, David, any classic ones that you like?
Well, certainly 13 Worlds is cool.
That was, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Apart from actual races, go watch Nine Ball Diaries.
Oh, nice. Yes.
What is that? I don't even know.
You haven't seen the Nine Ball Diaries?
No. Tim Johnson's Cannondale.
The Tim Johnson story.
Remember the Nine Ball kit?
I do. And yeah, he tells, in that movie, he says, there's a story behind it, but you never know what the story is.
Speaking of Tim Johnson, but where's Tim?
Oh my God, we were supposed to call him, weren't we?
Tim, where are you
supposed to call us? You have his number, Bill. We don't. So
stay tuned next week. I think I might actually have him on Skype too. Stay tuned for next week's show.
Try to reach him now. Wake him up.
Did he really say to call him and we forgot?
Yeah. Call him now. Call him. Let's do it.
I don't know. Throw him in there. Let me see. I'm looking.
Okay, listeners, go back to your trainers.
All right. The year after Louisville, what was that, 2013-14? That world with Stibar versus Sven. Yep. That's a great one to pull up and watch. Sven at Kokksida last year. Another great one. And I'm pulling all these Sven races. No, but the Jonathan Page one too. Those are all good ones, all good trainer fodder.
So
go watch that new Svenness video that just came out last week.
What?
I just want people to go search.
I'm like, wait a minute, what?
It's awesome.
What are you talking
about? 32 minutes long. It's almost as long as the race.
The music in that one is quite the best.
Oh, the music. I mean, some people hate it, but I think it turned out pretty well.
They'll get over themselves.
Yeah.
All right.
You got him?
Let's see what happens.
I don't know. Hopefully people won't know by the time this goes up, but the amount of editing that this is going to take.
I don't know if this is, it's not working. I don't know why.
Okay.
I know that's him, but.
Where were we? Are we still talking about the,
He's got the men's race. Call forwarding or something. I don't know. He's offline, but set to call forwarding or something.
Oh, well.
Next week, Tim Johnson, everybody.
Thanks for that insight, Tim. We really appreciate you getting into us.
But I think because he was racing that in that 98, I think that's the year he got like 9th or 10th or something. And he actually has a really good story about his backup bike that year. Somebody used instead of somebody.
I love Scott. He likes the stories about the bikes.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, let's move on and at least start the process of doing our world's picks. Are we going to pick full three person podiums for all these categories?
Ooh.
Not all the categories.
Or are we going to just pick winners? We can go either way. How about we pick winners for everything except elite, and we'll pick elite podiums.
Okay.
And
that sound good?
Sounds good.
Elite and U23 podiums, no?
You can do a U23 podium if you want.
Thank I can. Thank you.
Yeah. So, all right, we're going to we'll start with
for the women. Not for the women. Okay. Go ahead.
We'll start with the junior men. David.
Yes. Don't go for me, the junior men. I'm not prepared for junior men. I'm going to be quite honest and frank with you. Go with Bill, and I'll agree with him.
All right, Bill. Who do you got with Bill?
Pidcock. Pidcock's going to win.
I agree with Bill. I was going to say Pidcock.
Newhouse. Newhouse in second.
All right. I'm going to throw a little bit of...
That one's going to go with Newhouse, though. Go ahead, Scott. Tell me who I'm going to go.
I'm going to take... I don't know how to pronounce his name. Jella Comps, I think is his name. So he's having a decent season. I'm trying to pick a little bit of a long shot there. I'd like to see, if he can come in and surprise us.
All right,
so.
You got Jelly. David's got Newhouse. I got Pidcock.
Here we go.
All right.
There we go.
I better write down so I remember who I got.
Mark it down.
Okay, men U23. David, do you want to go first this time?
Nope, second.
All right. I'll go first this time. Take the pressure off, Bill. I'm going to go with... All right, here's my podium for U23 men. I'm going to go with Quentin...
Going for the podium.
Quentin Hermans on the top of the podium. I'm going to do Eli Easerbeat in second, and I'm going to take Tupalik for third.
But he's going to be first in the penultimate lap.
In the bell lap, he's going to be first, and then he's going to be third. There we go.
All right.
I think he might be a good pick. He could win it, man. He could really win it. So,
Tupalik. Yeah.
Oh man, wouldn't that be something? That would be
the ultimate.
That's how I did it. Yep.
Yes. All right, Bill.
All right,
hit us.
I'm gonna say third place, Gioli Bertolini.
Man, look at Bill.
Second place. Ellie Easerbeat. Top step, okay. Quentin Hermans. He's had the best year.
So we're the same except for our third place pick. So that's pretty close. So, all right, David, hit us with your wisdom.
I have that combination that spin on those on three of those. Tupalik in first, Hermans in second, and Eli tough to beat in third. As we say, in Kevin Powell's.
The Powell step.
The Powell step.
All right. Well, that's some good pick. I think, we've got very similar picks there. And I think that's going to be a really interesting race to see. That race is on Sunday, the early race on Sunday. And as always, it's always a great race. So really looking forward to that one. Let's move on to women. U23 women. David, you got to go first one of these times.
And it's this time.
Okay.
I've got Ellen Noble in
first?
Third.
Okay.
In third. In second spot, you got to go with Evie Richards, and surprising everybody or nobody, Laura Verdonschot is going to take it.
Nice.
You're next, Scott.
All right. I'll go next. I'll start with in third place. I'm going to take Evie Richards. Second place, Laura Verdonschot. And in third place, Anne-Marie Vorst.
Wait, who do you have winning?
I got Vorst winning. Anne-Marie Vorst.
I thought you said third again. Oh, I got really confused.
No, I think
third, second, third.
Second, third. He did.
Yeah.
Oh, did I?
It's the weirdest podium ever.
Review this tape. Review the tape.
It's like an inverted podium. all right. Oh, boy. That's, we go with Vorst had a great day today, but then you had Verdonschot at the Belgian national champions. Got E.B. Richards always comes in there strong. Ellen Noble, Ugh. I am going with Vorst in third, Verdonschot second, Evie Richards repeats.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's a daring pick.
It is a daring pick.
I think Vorst has been the top U23 rider in every World Cup that she's done.
I believe that is correct. Yeah.
That's why I kind of think she's going to be tough to beat. I think the smart money there, Scotty D. The three that I picked, Vorst, Verdonschot, and Richards, I think you can put those three in any order on that podium.
You know what? I put them in a different order.
Yes. and that's how close I think it is. Yeah. I think those three are You know, I think when you look at what Verdonchot has done this season, what she did at Belgian Nationals riding with Sonny Kahn, she's been riding up at the front all season long. I think she could easily win it. So,
right.
All right. Anything else going on with U23 women? I think we covered that.
I think it is, you know, and we are not discounting. We're not saying that they're not awesome. We love Ellen Noble and Emma White and the rest of the U23 Americans, but you know, they, and we'll be the first ones to be happy to be wrong. Other than David, who will be right if Ellen wins.
I mean, yeah, there's no... Absolutely could Ellen Noble win. I mean, that's just absolutely, you know, of course. She's definitely strong enough. She's definitely a good enough rider. And, you know, she could certainly get up there and win that.
Oh,
no question.
Going back to Hoogerheide, we got a late email here from John asking. He's saying that there's unconfirmed reports that Wout's rear wheel actually finished fifth at Hoogerheide today. No driver needed.
Do we want to talk about that motor doping video that would not die last week? Man.
I got chastised for posting my just trying to slow it down and repeat it to disprove. I think that there was a motor in it. People are like, oh, you know, clickbait. I'm like, I can't win. I can't win with posting stuff on Instagram anymore.
I mean,
the only thing you should post is that new installment of the Svennes videos.
Oh yeah. No, I should do a little teaser for that because I don't think people realize that it's out there. You know how many you know how many emails I get? Oh, you were talking about the new Svennes video? Where is that?
It's like it's the secret link, right? It's unpublished.
Oh yeah. It's the
but if you're smart enough, you can figure it out.
It's like
keep trying, everybody.
It's the Wu-Tang album that that one jerk pharma guy bought for $1 million. Only one copy exists.
Okay, let's move on to our elite men's podium. Who goes first? Bill, it's your turn to go first.
Man, this is just good. This is good. Because we, you know, going into this, it's easy. Well, I think it's easy. It's Matthew Vanderpoel. You know, every time him and Wout show up together, he seems to get the better of them. And it's just those two. Although we did have a question asking, when was the last time that both of them were on the start line together and somebody else won, which I can answer real quickly. It was Tone Aerts in the European Championship race.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. But that aside, both of these guys not coming into Worlds 100%. So I think that opens up the stage a little bit for some other players out there. You know, you have guys like Lars Vanderhaar, who's coming off in an awesome race today and is definitely going in there really confident. You have guys like Tom Mason, who may be an underdog, but definitely somebody who could, you know, pull a surprise on everyone. Same with Kevin Powells. Kevin Powells, you know, steady all year long. That third place could move up and take the win. Mm-hmm. You know, we really have all of these different factors going on there. So with knowing all of that, first place, Matthew Vanderpoel, second place, Wout Van Aert, third place, Kevin Powells.
Wow. The Kevin Powells pick doesn't surprise me at all. All right, that's great. David, do you want to go next or you want me to go next?
I'm going to go next. Right. First place, Matthew Vanderpoel. Third place, Kevin Pauls. But second place, Mr. Lars Vanderhaar.
Nice. Wow.
You know, there are reports out there that Wout still not sure he's even going to race.
Which would make it hard to see him in the top five.
Yes. Though I'm but okay, I was just gonna say I would like to hedge my pick by saying that Wout's wheel will be second place if he's not there.
I think Wout's knee is a little bit overblown. I'm just kind of got that feeling. I think taking the week off was
that's
a good
what the
idea.
Pictures looked like. It certainly looked overblown.
I think he's gonna be back. I think he's gonna be strong at Worlds. My pick. My podium is very similar to Mr. David Palin's, except for the top spot. I have in first place Wout Van Aert, second place Lars Vandehaar, and third place Kevin Powels.
All right.
Any comment?
I just want to see Lars win it. I have to tell you, I really would love to see him win it.
Oh, me too. I would love to see Lars win it. I think the thing with Vanderpool is he either wins it or he's not in the picture. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think if Wout or anybody is pushing it and going to win, he tends to just kind of drop out. He doesn't, you know. I think he'll either win the whole thing or he won't be on the podium. So just my pick, and just trying to throw in a little bit of, you know, drama and stuff for the folks to talk about, right, all week.
Yeah. So the question that becomes, if Vandehaar doesn't win it, does Tom Mason apologize for that?
Yes.
Who was it that was apologizing in his place? Oh, no, I forgot. No.
I think I have it here for you somewhere, Bill.
Apologizing for something that he did or he didn't do.
There was a similar apologizing incident, and now I can't remember.
It was like in the U23 race, yeah, or something.
Quinton Hermann. Bad crash,
yes,
in the first lap.
Yeah.
Own mistake. Hope Adam Tupalik is okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, so great. That's sort of like that's team mentoring right there.
There it is.
You know, that's right. The telling that fide away. So
that's
channeling
right.
His best Tom.
All right. Well, we got one more podium to pick, guys, and that is the elite women.
Hey, before we do that, we have to play this because we got a voicemail from Germany.
Yes.
So we can't. All right. I'm going to play this.
You mean we're international now?
Yeah.
Hey, guys. This is Matt calling from Kaiserslautern, Germany. Question for the show. Hey, when was the last time in an elite men's race that Matthew Vanderpool and Wout Van Aert both hit the start line?
I already answered that.
And neither of them won the race. Just thinking about the World Championships next week and thinking they're both going to be there and thinking that one of those two is probably going to win. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, and if you can actually dig that up, that'd be really interesting. Thanks. Love the show. Take care, guys.
Hey, maybe I should just edit
that. I'll take
that
a swing at that one.
Okay, maybe I should just edit that in front of the other, in front of me answering the question just out of the blue.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, other than...
The show's not going to be up till Friday.
Of course, other than the only people that have beaten Wout all year are Vanderpool, Tone, and one other person. Who was it? It was very early in the season. Because Spencer tweeted it out this week, and I replied, and now I can't think of who I said. Anyways, there's only been three people that have beaten Wout all year. So, you know.
All right. Okay, all of that, we're just cutting this part out. All of that's going in front of the other part. And now we're going to get back to our women's elite picks.
Man, you're going to have to edit this like I used to have to edit the Cyclocross Today show, Bill.
I know. I'm not going to. It's just going to be all out of order. I say I'm going to edit all this, and then people are going to listen to it, and then they're just going to have to piece it all back together.
They'll be like,
yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's
this
fine.
Is a choose-your-own-adventure podcast. You know, this is the Memento podcast. It's all out of order, and you just got to.
I want, maybe if a listener can edit it and put it all in the order that they like and then repost. Okay. Elite women, you guys ready? It's my turn to pick first. You want me to go first, or does someone else want to go first?
No, I think since it's your turn, you
demanding.
Should do it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go in third place. I'm going to pick Christine Majerus. In second place, I'm going to take Sonny Kant. And in first place, of course, Mariana Voss. I don't think she will be denied after the comeback that she has had, so... And I think we'll have another second place for Sonny Kant, maybe some podium frowning. And I think Majerus has been keying on this all year from Luxembourg. She's going to ride well. She's been riding well all year, and I think it'll get around the podium at Worlds. So, David.
Okay, in first place, Mariana Voss. In second place, personal favorite of mine, and still riding strong in the Worlds, Katarina Nash. In third place, I got a toss-up here between Laura Verdonchot and Eva Lechner.
Well, Verdonchot's going to race in 23.
So I don't really think that she's going to win the elite women's race. Good point. They used to race together. I get it. You know, old days. So I'm going with Eva. Eva Lett.
All right.
Cool. I'm not going with the Lita Dion.
All right, Bill. It's that time. You're writing all our picks down, aren't you? So you can like...
Oh, I'm going to do that after I edit.
So you can tease us about him.
Oh, he's going to edit our picks next week. So it sounds like we picked different.
All right. You ready? I'm going totally off book on this one.
Nice. That's what I like.
All right. Third place, Catherine Compton.
Okay.
Second place, Mariana Voss.
Oh.
And on the top step, Katarina Nash.
Oh, my goodness. I was waiting for Sané Kant to come out of your mouth, but it didn't. You don't think Kant will be on the podium? Interesting. Very interesting, Bill.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that's all our podium picks. So with that done, I got one other question for each of you, and I'll throw something out there, too. Pick one rider out of all the categories, right? Out of all the categories, one rider who you think could come out of nowhere and just blow us all away. Who wants to go first? And it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody who's going to win. It's just somebody who's going to, you know, maybe they get on the podium and we're not even, you know, it's
okay.
Like...
All right. Here's mine. Men's Elite. I'm going with Lauren Swick. This is where he has his breakout race.
Nice. And so, like, you mean, like, so he could, like, just, he'll be on the podium or something, or, like, you know, top five or something, like, crazy like that?
He's going to do what he used to do and just take off, like, a bat out of hell and be leading for, like, a couple races, a couple laps, and then they'll bring it back in. It'll be like, okay, well, that was good. Lawrence Wake had his time on the front. And then by the end, he's going to take off again, and he's going to, yeah, if anybody, well, I already said my podium, but that would be my, yeah, that would be my alternate podium.
Cool.
Alternative podium. My alternative podium.
All right, David, a pick for you for somebody who could just come out of nowhere.
I think there's, I got two for you.
Sure.
I got, and it's, you know, perhaps from the heart, but Thomas Mason in the men's elite and Sophie DeBoer.
Nice. Yeah, you know, absolutely. Yeah, those aren't like totally crazy, but I know what you're saying. It's like,
not crazy enough.
But they could punch above their weight for that day and you know, get a second or something, or even a first if everything falls right. So my pick is going to be, I'm going to pick in the elite women. And I'm going to pick Amanda Miller. I think she's been riding strong. She hasn't had a killer crushing race. But I think she could surprise us and sneak in and have a great race and do something. So that's my out of nowhere pick. So,
all right. I like that.
All right. Cool. Do we want to do some more questions, Bill?
We could do that.
What's that? Let's see Dylan's question. Where's Dylan's question?
My name's Dylan Curtis, and I had a question for you. So coming up with worlds, something in the women's race that kind of blows my mind, we have to think about. We're going to have Katie Compton, Katarina Nash, Sana Khan, Sophie DeBoer, and the ever-prevalent Marianne Voss, as well as many other players. What do you guys think is going to play out, and how do you think the course conditions will affect it? Thanks for the question. And Scotty D, just making sure those NeighborLink socks are working out for me when we met up at Derby City. But you guys have a good rest of the season, and thanks for all the coverage. Bye.
Are you going to make me edit this one before the World's Women picks?
Yeah, because I was going to point out that you've already answered the question. Scotty D just wanted to make sure that he got the call out.
No. Well, I think there's a little bit more. Yeah, we've already done our pick. But, I mean, he's talking a little bit. I thought what we could talk about is
how's it going to play out? They're going to give him a 30-second warning.
Not only that, but what do we think of? Have you guys looked at the course as far as the drawings, and what do you think about it at all?
It looks cool. There's a lot of scaffolding. I'm always a fan of that. There's snow. I like that too.
Yep. Yep. And there's, I don't know if you guys have looked at the map, but there's a real interesting there. I think there's a couple sand sections as they come in. It's around the big spectator tent. So there's like this big spectator tent in one area. And then there's a sand section and then a little hill off camber climb. They come around, they hit the sand again. And that's right before the finish. And they just do a loop around and then there's one more turn and they come into the finish straight. So I think that's obviously going to be an area of importance. Wouldn't you say, Bill? Usually the last sand that's right before the finish is going to be important.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how it plays out, but I think it's one of those things that we talk about a lot where the finish line is actually before the finish line. You know, it's the first one to X section of the course is going to win, and that may be one of those sections, which is great because then, you know, you sort of have that race within the race, especially in that last lap where there's all this jockeying for position to get to the part first. You know, and then assuring that, assuming nothing else goes wrong, that you can take the win. So yeah, I think you're right. That's definitely a spot that we should earmark to take a look at when these races start going next weekend.
Yeah, so look for that as far as how the race plays out. I think, you know, Dylan in his question mentioned all the top women that we're all going to be watching for sure.
You know, it is we can't say it enough about Marianna Vos coming back, you know, from a horrible injury, fighting back, and just a progression over the last month from when she first showed up for a cyclocross race and from, you know, on the podium to winning to just sheer dominance is just mind-boggling.
Well, you say progression, but it was like she had one race where she didn't podium, then the next race
fast,
she did podium.
I mean, if we're graphing it, it's a fast progression.
And then basically won everything else after that, right?
It definitely plateaus.
I just always go back to, because I think we talked on the show, she had like this 10-race list of races she was going to do as her comeback, and it took her one race and she's on the podium. And then another race and she's winning everything she's in. So, yeah, that's, you know, when you're the greatest
of all
time.
She didn't win that first race. That was a struggle, that first race.
Yeah, right. That was her comeback. That was her transition.
That was, there. Raising herself back into shape. It was that race.
Right. All right. More questions? You want to do more questions or are you ready to wrap it up?
I don't know. I think, you know, with some of these questions, Elliot, we got your questions. We're going to save that one for another episode. I think when we do our full-on voicemail and viewer mail, we know they're not viewers. You know, there was a question about the chainsaws in Italy.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Some
people might not know about that, but that's actually not that wasn't invented in the land of cyclocross, was it, Bill?
Right. So here's the I will read John's email. It says, I think you guys may have missed something in this week's show.
We never miss anything.
But that's gonna be my point. You don't follow us close enough on Twitter.
Yeah, the World Cup race in Italy. There's been much talk and excitement about the confetti cannons. Okay, we got to mention this. A Dutch race, definitely a Dutch fan, you know, at these other races that was shooting off confetti cannons. Every time Matthew Vanderpoel won, every time Sophie de Boer won, you are in the Netherlands. You have a sweep of Dutch riders winning all of these races, yet not one confetti cannon.
Man,
they ran out of confetti ammo.
I don't know. I think maybe the Dutch conspiracy thing is done and dusted, man.
Or maybe the you know, there are confetti cannon restrictions in the Netherlands. Like the Belgians are soft on confetti cannons.
Do they not have a Second Amendment?
They're like South Carolina, man. You can do anything there.
Belgium is the South Carolina of Europe. All right. There we go. Okay. Now back to our regularly scheduled email.
They're going to take away our cannons.
Watching the race in Italy where the riders were in the wooded section, it sounded like someone was cutting trees nearby. Did anyone else notice that? And then spotted, Ballant getting a shout out here. Cycle Photos UK website, the Ballant had posted this photo in a photo of an Italian fan, which with a bodged chainsaw rigged up to the 21st to be the 21st century cowbell. How are we missing that? Why is this guy already not a cyclocross internet sensation? Abandon the cannons and fire up those chainsaws. Best regards from Ottawa, Canada, John. So this is really a spillover from mountain biking, especially downhill mountain biking. In fact, there's a tragic story. Steve Smith, who was this just champion World Cup downhiller, I think world champion from Canada, died last year tragically. His nickname was Chainsaw. Fans just lined the downhill courses for him specifically with chainsaws, usually with no chains or no blades in there or anything like that, just for the sound of it. And you can still, you know, even before that and after it, definitely every race, if you go to cross country and downhill mountain bike races, there are a cadre of fans out there with these chainsaws. So I think that we have some crossover, which is a good thing. You know, we should have more mountain biking fans move over to cyclocross and vice versa. Yeah. And just find that excitement. But yeah, not a new thing, but definitely welcome. You know, we need more chainsaws at cyclocross races. I think Cross Crusade, they have chainsaws there as well. Yeah.
So no, but that's a really good question, because I bet there's a lot of people that aren't familiar with that. So yeah, that's a good answer to a really good question. So very cool. Because we've had a couple other inquiries about chain. A lot of people have been talking about that, and so I think there's a lot of people that didn't know, you know, where that came from, and so very cool.
You know, other than that, I think the only question maybe we had left was talking about Boros's helmet. But more importantly, singing the praises of Scotty D and his tech articles on cxhairs.com. If you haven't seen that yet, go check out the Nationals prep four-part series that Scott did. It's pretty cool stuff on getting Courtney McFadden's bikes ready for Nationals, and some of those bikes now heading to Luxembourg, right?
Heading to Worlds, man. Yeah. So
who cleaned them between Hoogerheide and Worlds?
Her husband, Chris, did. So he's out there. He's there supporting her.
So anything goes wrong, Scott is off the hook.
I can just blame Chris. I can be like, dude, what did you do to my bike?
However, if she wins it all,
you take all the credit. All the credit.
No, but it's always cool, I gotta say. So last year I got to see when Spencer Petroff, he had a frontline start at Worlds. And you look and you see, and there's a bike that, you know, you built in your basement. I gotta admit, that's kind of fun. That's kind of cool to see that. This year I get to see the same thing with Courtney McFadden, although she won't have a frontline start, but I'm sure I'll see her bike at some point. So yeah, it's very cool thing to see when you have those bikes that you're that familiar with, and there they are at the World Championships. So very cool. Thank you for that, Dan.
Scotty D, bike whisperer.
Yeah, right. All right, guys, let's wrap this up. Mr. David Palin with the new Twitter handle. Let's not forget about that, though. We harped on you on the show last week, and you just came through with flying colors, dude.
Within minutes of taking grief from you guys.
Yes. Twitter handle now for Mr. David Palin is Mr. David Palin. So is that where folks should reach you, David?
That's the best place.
Everybody goes back and listens, you know, to those old episodes, and you say, you know, just follow me on Twitter at Mr. David Palin, they're no longer confused.
They're only confused on why they want to follow me.
It was all for backwards compatibility, David.
Right. That's what it was.
And Bill, best place for people to get in touch with you?
At CX Hairs on Twitter and Instagram. Hey, guys, really quickly, another thing that you all can do after following all of us is you can go to healthiq.com/CX Hairs. Go click on that. Fill out a little questionnaire. Learn more about life insurance, because these guys want to help you get good rates on life insurance. They also want to support Crosshairs Radio, so we want you all to support them. So that's healthiq.com/CX Hairs. Call us, 405-CX-HAIRS. Send your letters to feedback@CXHAIRS.com. And Scott,
Yes, because yeah, we'll be doing a show with all questions, so hopefully we'll be able to knock a bunch of these out. So yeah, get those questions in for sure. For me, Scott Dienbach, you can get me at cyclocrossnet on Twitter is usually the best place. Follow me on Facebook, whatever, or you can always send a email to the feedback link, and Bill is very good about passing those along, so that's the way to do that. Guys, thanks again for joining me, and it was another successful show. I think we're gonna break some download records again with this one, I think.
I think so.
It's so big, we'll break the internet.
And we'll probably be doing another show post-World, and then we're going to have our kind of wrap-up show with the season. There's still the Super Prestige race and the DVV race, and we'll do those, and then we'll have our season ending with our categories that I still have to look up. So still a few more shows before the end of this season, and so people stay tuned for those. And, guys, thanks again, and we will talk to you again soon.
Hey, and if you guys have any suggestions out there, dear listeners, for categories for awards that we should be giving out, give them a tweet out to add Mr. David Palin at cyclocrossnet and at CXHairs.
Hey, some creativity would be great.
I just want to end by saying that you're not going to hear it on this episode, but I picked Tone Arts as my underdog.
Bye.
See ya.